So today we're going to talk about how to run a services and consulting business.
All right. I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Done. Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Alrighty. So
I think we've both done that. So let's give people a little context. How about you first?
Yes, I'll go first. I have a lot less experience than you in this, I think. But we were running a company called Elastic Sales. And Elastic Sales was basically a consulting and outsourcing firm for B2B startups in Silicon Valley that try to do sales. Yeah. So we would both run sales campaigns for them and give them reports on what worked, what didn't work. We would consult them how to do their sales better. And also we would build a sales team for them. Yeah. That they could outsource with us and scale with us. And we made a shit ton of mistakes because we knew jack shit about services business or consulting businesses. So I have definitely some mistakes to report and to avoid, right? Yeah. So that's my context on this.
Okay, great. My first internet business was a consulting business. We were doing SEO. My co-founder, Neil, got one customer paying him $3,500 a month while he was still in high school. And I was getting out of college at the time and he was getting into college. And we decided to start our consulting company. On that. So, and he just got it by being helpful and friendly. He actually was going to a college for a speech class, like on like public speaking, like just to like, he didn't even know he should get good at it. He just felt like doing it to like get more confident.
Okay.
It's probably where his confidence started from. He had less then. He had one person who was working at a power supply company called LPAC. And they wanted SEO, and he already knew how to do it. And the other that guy was also in the class with them or something like that. So that's how it started. And so we kind of got thrown into it. I had never done consulting before that. We ran that company. There was a little overlap with our startups, but we had the company running until about 2010. So about, I would say, solid 7 years.
Oh, wow.
And got it in millions of dollars in revenue and then decided to just shut it down. And when you have a services business, if you get it to a certain scale, you can like sell the customers to somebody else and have them service them.
Yeah.
So we did some of that. So that's my context on it, and we were able to successfully do it, and there's a whole bunch of strategies on how to do it. And you know, today I'll even give a shout out to like Ramit Sethi and a lot of the stuff he's doing. He's got this program called Earn 1K. Mm-hmm. He's got this site called I Will Teach You to Be Rich, and a lot of the stuff he's doing now is helping anybody start a little business, which usually starts with a services business, not a software business. I know also a lot of our listeners also have services businesses and might even have aspirations to do product and software, so I'm sure we can even get into how to transition. But let's start with your mistakes, because I think if you start there, then we can discuss those and see how other people can do them better or avoid them or whatever.
I like that, because I was just about to suggest that. So,
wow, great minds think alike. That's what they say, right?
I guess so. We had somebody giving us feedback. By the way, we love when you people send us emails and feedback, especially also the critical one.
Yeah.
So somebody sent us a very thoughtful email, and one of it was like, when you guys end or finish each other's sentences and it works, it's great, but sometimes it doesn't and then it sucks. Like something along those lines, where we think we know what the other person's going to say, but then the other person didn't want to say that. So,
yeah, and then we disagree. And then that leads to a better conversation.
There you go.
So, I understand the feedback. We might still keep doing it. And how do you know we're not doing it on purpose?
There you go. All right. Take that. Positive, negative feedback. But we enjoy and appreciate all positive negative feedback. We're just having fun here. But let's start with the mistake. So that's a good one. So I'll start with that. Our first mistake was both charging too little, which I think is just a general...
For the service. For whatever you were doing.
Yes. Okay. And we were charging on a flawed premise.
Okay.
So we were thinking overall the vision of the business was to be like AWS for sales. So replace servers with salespeople. Okay. You got it, right? Okay. So in that paradigm of thinking, we thought, well, you should be able to pay per salesperson per day.
Yeah.
And you should be able to scale up and down no matter how you want. Now, that obviously makes for a horrible business model in a services company when it's not a tech infrastructure company. But we didn't think that through. So we started with like a daily rate per salesperson.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And because we knew eventually we would want to move more to a performance-based price, we would pitch customers on like a first month or first 2 month fixed pricing, and then we would transition out of that. That was a horrible mistake for us, that business model, because of a variety of reasons. Number one, we made too little money and too little margin. Number two, it didn't take into account that a lot of our customers, and we didn't understand that well enough, a lot of our customers were not yet ready to scale sales.
Oh.
Yes. So we thought our way of qualifying customers would be, do you have a launch product? Do you have paying and growing revenues? Cool. We're going to help you scale. But that's not enough, right? And a lot of times, particularly the type of companies that wanted to work with us, they had some fundamental problems. And one part of their desire working with us was for us to fix those problems. That what that meant was that we had to go through a lot of painful learnings that we would give them, but we would not be compensated for these learnings.
Right.
And we would work for like a month or two or three and still not be at a point where we can do commission-based, but we're making all this shitty money while we're like fixing your business.
Yeah.
And that just is very, very bad for us because we're...
The economics don't work. So make sure whatever you're charging for is profitable for you.
Yes. Right? More, and much more, much yeah. more profitable than you, yeah. than you think is yeah. necessary. And makes also sense. Make sure to truly understand what the values that you're creating, right? And what type of customer yeah. you have and what kind of help they need and how you have to work with them to make them a profitable, successful customer for you.
What I do like about that is it's very much like building software.
Yeah.
Where if you don't understand that customer, I know sales is like this too, but if you don't understand the customer, you're not going to figure out like what they care about. Thus, they won't pay you for anything for the long haul, right?
Right.
You might get away with it in the beginning, but at some point, if you can't deliver that value and it's aligned with what they want, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
That's... So big rule in services, right? Which is like give them ROI or you're fucked. Or you're McKinsey or somebody just charging for fluff.
I was just talking – so that's spot on. I was just talking to a startup that went through a pivot, and what they're trying to do today is very similar to Elastic Sales, although they just want to focus on appointment setting. And they were telling me that part of the reason why they decided to only do appointment setting is because they realized that some of these companies are fucked anyways that want to work with them. So they're like, if we're responsible for closing the deal, that's never going to work. So we only do the appointment setting. And I told them, I get that, but you also need to understand you're still in trouble. Like you're taking on customers where from day one, you know you're not delivering success. And you might think, well, it doesn't matter if they just say 3 months, they're paying us 3 months for appointments. We set appointments, fair deal. But if you know all these appointments will lead to zero sales in ROI, don't take them because they're going to be pissed. They're going to yeah. need all this support. They're going to be really loud telling yeah. everybody how bad the experience was. It's not worth it. You might think this is a hack to get out of this problem, but it's not.
I think you point out a really good point. Like in the software world, we'll say, okay, if we burn like 20, 30 customers on a bad experience, they'll either come back or there's like hundreds, if not thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of more out there. I think in a services business, the word spreads really fast. And your number one channel in my experience is word of mouth.
Yeah.
So if you do screw it up with a customer, it's very important to make sure there's a good reason. And also more importantly, you turn their sentiment around because the word spreads and word of mouth is the number one channel for services businesses.
I'll give a plug and we'll link up to this. I did a podcast with Brendan Dunn,
yeah,
who cool. does a lot of like consulting, yeah. How to double your consulting yeah. rate and all
yeah,
that.
He's got a whole freelancing software and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah, and the entire 20-minute or 30-minute podcast episode was about how to do referrals right for a services business.
Awesome.
So if you want to get that, you can just listen to that.
We're not going to talk about that.
Yes.
Awesome.
So here's the next mistake that we made. The next mistake that we made is that we couldn't figure out a model where we could afford to have salespeople selling our service on a consistent basis. Because, you know, we either can have them sell for our customers, or if they sell for us, we're not making as much money with them, or we don't have as many resources. So we had this issue that a lot of services businesses have where you have a bunch of business. And then you work on the business, and then all these deals are done, all these projects are finished, and you're like, oh shit, now we have no business.
I need more business.
And then you're, oh, out there, getting business. Yeah. So there's these ups and downs.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to work at perfect capacity in terms of like your internal resources.
Yeah.
So we had that problem for a while, and then we switched the model, okay. and that made a big difference. So what we started doing was we started doing two things. Number one is we made a long-term plan and said, over the next 12 months, how many new customers and clients do we want to have every single month? And we're going to limit that. So let's limit it to a certain amount of people. Then number two, let's have somebody sell our Elastic Sales full-time. and sell out the offering. Like, there's only 3 spots per month max. So, you know, whenever they're filled up, we need to sell the next month. And for you to secure your spot as a client, you had to put down a $5,000 or $10,000 deposit. Right. On top of that, we changed the business model where every customer had to do a pilot. A pilot was like $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 upfront for us to figure out if we can do sales and how to do sales successfully. So all the economics changed of the business.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, what we did is we talked to customers consistently, and we had a sales dude that could tell people, listen, we're booked out for the next 3 months. The earliest you could do is in 4 months. We already have 2 slots given away, so I have 1 more for you. You'd have to make a decision the next, you know, 7 days, and you'd have to put down a deposit of $10,000. It's fully refundable if you wanted to secure that spot.
Yeah.
And what that allowed us to do is it allowed us to have one person that generated a lot of cash flow through these deposits,
yeah.
right? So it was no problem to pay for his salary.
Yeah.
And it allowed us, it created the scarcity, which clients love.
Yeah.
Even the clients that were like, no, I mean, if we can't work with you right now, we don't want to work with you. And we're like, well, fine, put down a deposit because in 3 months you might still not have a solution internally. And
yeah,
then you're
going
to be happy. It's like
yeah.
an insurance. You can
yeah.
get it back.
Yeah.
So people, and then they would work with us 3 months down the line.
Yeah.
But it makes you more desirable because you're
yeah.
in such demand. It,
it really helps you manage capacity.
Yes.
Because your issue was capacity you're solving
yes.
for. You weren't trying to solve for more deals or more
yeah.
money first. You
yeah.
were solving for this capacity problem. And I think that it's funny, right? Like when you start, you just start selling something. Usually it's something you know how to do well
yeah.
or something that you learned really quickly and you have some advantage or you know people that want you to do it, right? After that, if you want to scale it, you have to turn it into a process and you have to figure out how it aligns with how the customer wants to buy. If you notice, these things are the same as selling software at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
So you're still having to learn sales and do a sales process, but the tip that I would give is that, like, if you're just offering value the whole time during those conversations and yet also have the plan, like you're saying, you end up getting a ton of business, right? And the word of mouth spreads too. It's like people will talk about the deposit they gave you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then more people will want to give you a deposit.
Yep.
Because it's just a self-fulfilling thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The other thing is the other mistake that we made, the other thing we never thought about, and this can be very different from a software business, is seasonality.
Yeah.
Like, it hit us really hard in the face. We
software
didn't.
Is the same. Once you hit a certain scale, you know how this is. Some months are better than others.
That's true.
Right? But you might be talking about a different
seasonality. Oh, yeah. Let me
yeah.
tell you about
yeah,
in our case,
yeah,
right?
Go for
okay.
it,
so here's the deal.
Yeah.
So we do this, we start this, on a February or whatever it was. First few months are really nice. And then the first dip we realized was in like August. August was a bad month where we couldn't sell as effectively. Most customers didn't want to start that month. So we had a little dip. But that was okay. We survived that. But then the really terrible dip for us was November, December, January. Because all of the clients we talked to during kind of the last 2 quarters of the year, none of them wanted to start in November, December.
No.
None of them. No. All of them wanted to start in January, which in January they wanted to push it to February, right?
Yeah.
Because they got caught by like the new
yeah,
year stress and
sure.
all that. So we had a big dip in like new clients.
Yeah.
Then December was, for most of the B2B sales we were doing, not a good month.
That's right.
Last 2 weeks of December, you
yeah.
could kind of like
yeah.
forget about it. First week of January, forget about
yeah.
it. So we had all these full-time employees, a ton of them, and we have very little new business, if not new customers. And with a ton of our clients, we can't do sales during those weeks. That got us into real trouble. Because in services business, you rent out humans to a certain degree,
yes.
right? In consulting businesses.
Yeah.
So you have a ton of humans on your payroll. You need to
and
be
you're
able-
you're not renting them out.
Yes, you need
you're
to be able to
money.
Finance that.
Yeah.
So overall, you might be profitable, but if you have like 2 months of a massive dip, can you finance that? Do you
That's
have the
right.
cash flow to
That's
finance
right.
it?
That's right.
right? We never did.
Not,
we
you
never
didn't think about that.
We never thought about that because we had success. We just hired, and then we're like, holy shit, what do we do now?
Yeah.
So
it's not it's not like as recurring when you're, especially
yes.
if you're trying to take a cut of the profit, right?
Yes.
Or a cut of the sale.
It was probably particularly so for a company that, like us, we're doing like selling for somebody, right? If you do product development, it might not matter at all,
yeah.
right? So, but for us in our business,
it's
the way
cyclical.
We were so
yeah.
cyclical, these
yeah.
the dip in the winter was so harsh,
yeah.
and like But overall, the issue is managing cash flow. Like, how do you hire and make this person profitable? And then
how long?
And all that. That's really becomes part of your core competency.
That's right.
That nobody thinks about when they get started.
You get good at managing cash flow. Yeah,
you need to.
Yeah.
You need to, right?
It's a very good point.
A lot more so than in other types of business, especially in business where you have recurring revenue. Yes,
and,
of course,
and you probably, I mean, in your case, a little different, but most people probably haven't raised money or anything for a services business, right? You had a different model.
Yeah.
Let's talk, like, for the rest of the time of this, let's talk about marketing a services business. Because, like, one of the big things I get when I encourage people to start one is, like, how do I get customers?
Yeah.
Right? And we were very good at it.
Yeah.
And we had a strategy, and it's just one strategy, and there's a lot of them. But the one we would use is we'd build a brand by either going to conferences and or blogging. Now I think both of those are easier than ever. I'd probably go more online and less conferences. My co-founder, he was the youngest person at the internet marketing conferences. So that helped a lot. He had like a brand for being that person. Yeah. So, you know, I remember times when he'd say they'd take over an empty hotel floor and go mess around with like wheelie chairs at the conference. And I'm pretty sure there were a lot of, there were adults there that like goofy shit, but Neil was probably the encourager, right? Yeah. So that kind of built a brand around him. But he was also, would always back it up with information and knowledge that they didn't know, right? Or that they learned from or whatever. And so we used that to build that, his brand. And his brand is what brought most of the business. And then one thing I would say is that in the services business, especially early on, it's all relationship based. So I would honestly, the first easiest hack is try to do a service where you know you can do it and you know someone can pay you for it, even if it's not the ideal service you want to do. Because then you can at least get in the process of I'm getting money for doing something for someone. Yeah. And that's if you're starting out really important. So starting with your network is the number one thing. It's like who in your network can use your service? Who do you already know that can use your service? Yeah. Right? That's an easy one that if you just think hard enough, there'll be at least one or two people you can hit up and see, right? So that's one angle. I think another angle is today, if you start blogging about your expertise, people will traffic will come. And if you have like just simple stuff set up, like, you know, have a 15-minute consultation, right? Or evaluation of if I can help you, right? With marketing or whatever your services are around, people will eat that up.
Yeah.
They're happy to talk for 15 minutes, especially if you've written just written about it and it's an opt-in. And it's surprising to me how few people do stuff like that when it's like, it works. Like you can write a blog post. It doesn't. Let's say it takes you 6 hours and it's a really good one, right? You can easily make up that 6 hours on any hourly rate if it's specifically designed to get you leads.
Yeah. I think that that's a so there's a lot of good gems in there. I think that one thing that I want to add to is the last thing that you said was like, offer something of value potentially, and this is a strategy we've done very successfully in the early days, more so than we can do today, is just offer office hours, like a free 15-minute consultation. Yeah. I'm going to give you some. And then I think that too many people are too worried, how much value can I offer or give away for free?
Oh, yeah. Don't even worry
that's,
about
that. That's scarcity thinking.
People aren't hiring you to talk to them and strategize. They're hiring you to get something done and you ideally doing it in this context. So it's not like a McKinsey or something where you're hiring them and they're going to make these decks for you and just tell you information. So the information is actually the cheapest thing you can give people.
Yeah.
Right? The most expensive thing is actually your service and delivering on that information and that strategy. So usually the first call, I just strategize and try to understand their needs and understand what I can do. And by the end of the call, we've decided whether they want a proposal or they want more or, you know, it's not a good fit. And I'm the one deciding that if I'm the one doing the services. Also, I know you mentioned office hours. I actually don't like office hours if my intent is to get consulting clients. I like a discreet, like 15-minute evaluation call and then telling them what they'll get, which is they'll get fresh ideas on how to do X, right? And at the same time, if there's any way that the person on the call that's giving them the ideas can help, then you would kind of go into that.
I know that I don't want to out him because I don't know if he wants to know people, but there's one particular guy that does a lot of like consulting.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, like this, because he's a pretty like popular blogger, he gets like a lot of requests for it. So one way of how he fixes that is that he's on, I think, clarity.fm or something, and he asked for like a $300 1 hour introductory call. So he does his he's being paid to do qualify. A qualify people that. Before he sells them. Now, the other thing that you said that I think is important, I want to highlight is the start with something you can do to an audience you already know, even if that something is not the ultimate end game plan.
That's right.
I think too many times people are like, well, I'm really good at this, but I really would love to do that, something else.
Yeah.
And that's cool. Like, that can be your overall game plan is you start at A, you arrive at C. But a lot of times, and this is not just services, this is every business, people want to make one giant leap to where they want to be versus making the proper incremental steps towards it. Today, if you already have a reputation for SEO, you really know how to kill it, even if you're not excited about it anymore, you'd rather do whatever pricing, business model, customer development consulting, start with SEO and work your way to it.
Oh, total agreement. Yeah, start with what you know. It'll be easiest to deliver on and easiest to talk about and show expertise on. Love that.
And once you build that value for people, you can start creating openings to add more value in these other areas. And once you get more clients, you can point them to all these clients you create a lot of value. It doesn't matter if it was for SEO, for something else. Yeah. You start building a brand that you're super valuable as a consultant, successful. All right, what else? So marketing, conferences, blogs. Yeah. What for people that say, you know, I'm not that good of a writer. I might do the type of consulting that doesn't necessarily mean I'm great at writing.
Yeah.
What are other ways? Like, personal network is a big thing that we say. What would you say to somebody that says, I don't have a personal network? Or?
Yeah, I kind of like that one in a way. But, you know, it's if you say you don't have a personal network, you're probably wrong. You have somebody that knows somebody. It's just a matter of asking, right? And that blog post strategy, if the excuse is that you don't know anyone, is the best one. Because you can put it out there and then hopefully you'll share it with your friends or something. And then there's a flywheel that happens, right? They'll realize you're doing this, right?
Right.
The one trick that we use, and it's not even a trick, but the one strategy we use, which oftentimes it goes against what other people would say, is we actually deliberately did free work for people. And we got something out of it, right? So we had our consulting company's logo on TechCrunch's site in the sidebar because we did their SEO and actually increased their traffic, right? And so if you can do some work, especially if it's opportunistic, quite frankly, it didn't take us that long to help them, right? Yeah, they called us sometimes after that and all that, and we were always happy to be helpful. But the goal was that like we'd help them get more traffic. They put our badge on there and they didn't pay for it, right? And we did work for them because we did.
Yeah.
And so that strategy worked every time. We'd do that and try to get that for any deals we do. So early on, don't be afraid to do some free work if it's strategic.
Yep.
Just be really smart about it, right? Sometimes it's free work just because that person is worth doing it for, so you can set an example of here's what I can do for someone like him or her, and they will recommend you to people, right? Also today, like the other thing I don't see people doing is like, look, if you're going to go do SEO, you should go figure, and this is very tactical, but go figure out what people are saying about SEO right now. And what are the hard things people are thinking about, right? Like right now, people are probably thinking about mobile and location-based and these very specific things, right? And so start gaining some expertise on there and start understanding where the frustrations are that people have. I mean, depending on what services you're doing, Twitter searches help, right? I hate SEO. Check that out, right? Like that might tell you a lot.
Right.
Or SEO is really hard. Or, you know, you can just start doing these searches and get a sentiment of what people are thinking. That way you have a better pulse on like what kind of value prop to sort of, you know, have with your services. But even before all that, if you just said, I'm offering free 15-minute calls to see if I can help you with marketing. I've done blah, blah, blah. Just a simple thing like that. Mm. Even on Facebook, posting it might already get you a few people to talk to you. And that's what you really need to start this off.
Yep. So a few more thoughts, really like rapid fire style.
Yeah, okay.
One, if you currently have a job and you want to do consulting, how about offering your employer to tell them that you're going to leave and then offer them a plan B is if you still need my help, we could do this on a consulting basis, right? That could be a great first client.
I've seen many people be successful doing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, in some ways it's like you're probably going to be more fair with them because they're your employer. They probably helped you get to a place where you can even do this.
Yeah.
So it's just about being smart about what you're offering. And actually, this is where I've seen people screw it up is like that company doesn't owe you anything. They don't need to keep you.
Yeah.
You know, like they really don't, right?
Don't.
So offer a deal that's worth it for both parties.
Yeah.
Like it makes it – so it's almost like a transitionary thing is the smartest way to think about it. And, you know, you can just – it's an easier way to talk to the employer. Be like, look, you're paying me X amount now. You'll be paying me less, right? And I'll be doing about 80% of the work because I have an efficient way to do that stuff because you taught me how to do that, right? But I don't have any other use in this company, right? So just having a good conversation that's more aligned with what the company needs and actually lowers their costs is the smart way to do that.
So that could be your first consulting client.
That's right.
And then instead of going to find another job, you could talk to potential future employers, and maybe there you go, listen, I just changed my priorities. I'm doing consulting now for my past employer. And maybe would that be still a possibility for working with you guys, right?
I mean, even more deeper, right, is that you could even just search for job listings, see how, if you can figure out how long they've been open. Mm-hmm. That's actually a great opportunity to hit up the company and be like, look, I know you've had that job opening open, and you've had it open for 3 months. I can help you do that now, right, as a contractor, right?
I love it. Super smart. The other thing is when if you're currently trying to build a software business, let's say, and you're like, oh, this consulting stuff is interesting and entertaining, but not for me. If you don't already have a product that's launched, growing, and you have product market fit, maybe you should be doing consulting.
I love this, and let me talk about this.
Yeah.
So what we're doing right now at our company, and I know you did this, but what we're doing right now at our company, and I'm specifically doing this because I'll just say I'm pretty good at consulting, but it's really just good at giving advice, same kind of thing. Yeah. And so there's actually a bunch of companies that I'm helping with their content marketing right now. I'm actually not getting paid. I don't want to be paid because I have access to companies that they just wouldn't pay anyone for it, but they need a lot of help. So I'm using that to learn all kinds of parts of how to do this. I even told them, you're my guinea pig. I know a lot about this. I know how to do it. I want to learn more how it works at your type of company. And I've just come into multiple sessions. Some of them are weekly, and I'll go talk to the team that's starting it up or doing it. And I learn a tremendous amount that way, right? And so I'm offering it for free, actually, on my end to very specific customers that I can learn from or potential future customers. And I'm very transparent about it.
I love that. There's a Paul Graham essay about this on how to offer consulting as a way for you to truly understand your customer while making money and then build the right thing on it. Read that. We'll link up to it in the show notes. TheStartupShit.com. You can find the show notes there. And then you give a tip and then I'll remember
mine. You want me to give a tip?
Yes.
So my tip on the consulting is like if you're not doing it yet and you're just trying to get started, just write down what you're good at. I know we've suggested stuff like this. Just write down what you're good at. And if you can't take it from there, then go sign up for something like Earn 1K because they talk about all this. They give you the checklist, the fill in the blanks to write down what you're good at and figure out what service you can provide and actually walk you through all of this. Because many folks, I'll throw out one stat that I saw. I believe the stat is 1 in 3 workers in New York and San Francisco are freelancers freelancing.
Wow.
Right? It's really interesting.
Yeah. Love it. All right. So I remember what I wanted to say, and then I added something to it. So in case that you're not sure if you want to do consulting, let's say you're in a situation where you get approached, but you're like not certain. Just be ridiculous with the pricing and make it worth your while. So one cool hack is just to go, I don't know if I really want to do consulting. Then, well, what would be a price that would get you excited about it? Well, just charge them $10,000 a day. And if they say no, that's no problem. You were not sure about doing it anyways. But if somebody says yes, now all of a sudden you made 10 grand in a day.
At one point in our consulting company, that's what we charged for the partner's time.
There you go.
It was 10K a day. And people would take us up on it, but it was totally worth it.
The other thing is, and this is the last thing for the episode, is if you want to do consulting, anything in life, but consulting specifically or particularly, you need to build a brand. So part of what Heaton was saying about marketing is like building a name so people know who you are and why you have expertise in a certain area that they should seek out. So listen to the two episodes we made, one about how to build a personal brand and the other one how to build your reputation. Because these two are also highly relevant if you want to be a consultant or building a consulting business.
If you listen to those first, you'll already get started while you might not be ready to start making money on it. And you'll start building a brand.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So I think that's it from us for this episode. Make sure to go to thestartupchat.com/FB for Facebook. Yeah. We're approaching 1,200 members. It's awesome. Crazy. It's like every day there's another 10, 20 people that are joining the group. It's not just the quantity of the group. It's also the quality. There's everyday discussions, feedback, people helping each other out, people supporting each other. It's turning to a very special place, which is kind of super cool to witness. So if you listen to the Startup Chat, make sure to become part of the community. Just go to thestartupchat.com/FB and join the group, and we'll hear you next time.
See ya on Facebook.